grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the mystery of water with your word, sinners are redeemed and born again. Help us understand that this is more than an external sign for others to see. As water with your word, baptism is an eternal game changer where we are baptized into Christ's death so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live, may too have that new life. I ask in Christ, please, make this new life in you a reality for us all. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Luther. Yes, Martin Luther began his sermon from this same gospel passage, this same gospel reading we heard this morning from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And the date was January 6th, 1534. January 6th, 1534. And this is how Luther began that sermon. The most important thing about today is that Christ was baptized. That's how he began his sermon. The most important thing about today is that Christ was baptized. For at the waters of the River Jordan, Christ revealed himself for the first time. In his 30th year, Jesus made known as he is, Christ, Son of God. So that first sentence is how Luther began, and that little paraphrase I shared after that is the River Jordan, Christ was revealed as he is, Christ, Son of God. As we heard from Matthew chapter 3, John says, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? And Jesus responds to fulfill all righteousness. We need to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened. Opened in this manner for the first time ever. Descending from that opened heaven comes the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, the first time ever. And then the Father speaks. This is my beloved Son, with him I am well pleased. This all took place when? After Jesus was baptized. Luther writes that concerning this in his sermon, that the heavens opened, the Holy Spirit descended, and the Father spoke. And it demonstrates that the Father holds baptism dear, baptism that was sanctified by the Son of God himself in his own body, Luther wrote. Here we have the triune God revealed as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. For here our Lord God tears open the heavens and sends the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, saying in a sweet voice, here you have my Son, my heart, my treasure, and all that I am. Those were Luther's words. You have my Son, my heart, my treasure, all that I am. Baptism. What is baptism? Well, let's have a little refresher course, beginning with the small catechism, jumping into the large catechism. What is baptism? Baptism is not water only, but it is water used together with God's word and by his command. What is this word? Matthew 28, our Lord Christ says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What benefits does God give in baptism? In baptism, God forgives sin, delivers from death and the devil, and gives everlasting salvation to all who believe what he has promised. What is God's promise? In Mark 16, our Lord Jesus Christ says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. How can water do such great things? It is not water that does these things, but God's word with the water and our trust in this word. Water by itself is only water, but with the word of God, it is life-giving water, which by grace gives the new birth through the Holy Spirit. St. Paul writes in Titus 3, he saved us in virtue of his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs in hope of eternal life. The saying is sure. What does baptism mean for daily life? It means that our sinful self with all its evil deeds and desires should be drowned through daily repentance, and that day after day a new self should arise to live with God in righteousness and purity forever. St. Paul writes in Romans 6, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. 1529, Luther's Small Catechism, written for the parents in the home to teach the faith to the children. But then also the adults and the pastors and many others needed to know and learn the faith. To nurture that deeper understanding in you this morning, I'll read a portion of Luther's Large Catechism, also from 1529. I prefer the Tappert edition of the Book of Concord from 1959, Fortress Press. However, I'll be sharing with you from the portions of the Large Catechism from the Book of Concord, Kolb and Wengert edition from the year 2000. Now, the Book of Concord is the confessional writings of the Lutheran Church, where all the different parts of Lutheranism came together in one concord and agreed, this is the faith. The three chief parts and how the Small Catechism begins and the Large Catechism begins is the three chief parts of Christian teaching, which are the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer. And then after these three chief parts, the Catechism speaks of baptism. And so I begin from the Large Catechism on baptism. We have now finished the three chief parts of common Christian teaching. We must still say something about our two sacraments instituted by Christ. For every Christian ought to have at least some brief elementary instruction about them, because without them no one can be a Christian, although unfortunately nothing was taught about them in the past. First, we shall take up baptism, through which we are initially received in the Christian community. In order that it might be readily understood, we shall treat it in a systematic way and limit ourselves to that which is necessary for us to know. How it is to be maintained and defended against heretics and sectarians, we shall leave to the scholars. In the first place, we must above all be familiar with the words upon which baptism is founded and to which everything is related that is to be said on the subject, namely, where the Lord Christ says in the last chapter of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 19, go into all the world, teach all the nations, and baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Likewise, in the last chapter of Mark, chapter 16, verse 16, the one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned. Observe, first, that these words contain God's commandment and institution, so that no one may doubt that baptism is of divine origin, not something devised or invented by human beings. As truly as I can say that the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer were not spun out of anyone's imagination, but are revealed and given by God Himself. So I can boast that baptism is no human plaything, but is instituted by God Himself. Moreover, it is solemnly and strictly commanded that we must be baptized, or we shall not be saved. So that we are not to regard it as an indifferent matter, like the putting on of a new red coat. It is of the greatest importance that we regard baptism as excellent, glorious, and exalted. It is the chief cause of our contentions and battles because the world is now full of sects who scream that baptism is an external thing and that external things are of no use. But no matter how external it may be, here stand God's word and command that have instituted, established, and confirmed baptism. What God institutes and commands cannot be useless. Rather, it is most precious thing, even though to all appearances it may not be worth a straw. If people used to consider it a great thing when the Pope dispensed indulgences with his letters and bulls and confirmed altars and churches solely by virtue of his letters and seals, then we ought to regard baptism as much greater and more precious because God has commanded it. What is more, it is performed in his name. So the words read, "Go baptize. Not in your name, but in God's name." To be baptized in God's name is to be baptized not by human beings, but by God himself. Although it is performed by human hands, it is nevertheless truly God's own act. From this fact, everyone can easily conclude that it is of much greater value than the work of any human being or saint. For what human work can possibly be greater than God's work? That's how the Large Catechism begins. And did you hear? Did you pay attention to that part of the great emphasis that this is God's act? God is doing this. To be baptized in God's name is to be baptized not by human beings, but by God himself. Although it is performed by human hands, it is nevertheless truly God's own act. Yes, it's human hands that have poured the water over you, or human hands that helped you be immersed, or it was human hands, but with God's word, God's name, it is God's act. Now, have you ever experienced a high ropes course, or perhaps a zip line? And you had to get through it, and you had this group of kids together, and you're all looking at each other, and then you look way up high, and you go, and you look around, and you go first. No, you go first. You go first. Who wants to go first? You go. Have you ever had that experience, trying to decide who goes first? You go first. And then once that first person goes, and we look, you know, that looks like fun, and he's okay. She's okay. I will go too. Well, baptism. Who's going first in this baptism? It was God's own Son. Because it was the heavens opened and the Spirit came down and the voice spake. You had the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Who goes first? Someone has to lead the way. Who will it be? The fact that Christ was baptized is leading. Now, we can speculate on the meaning all we want of John's baptism of repentance and Christ saying, we need to do this to fulfill all righteousness. The main point, as Luther began his sermon with, the most important thing about today is that Christ was baptized. That Christ was baptized. Think about this. If Christ was not baptized, how many would go about and say baptism is unneeded, unnecessary? Why? Well, Christ wasn't baptized. Why do I have to be baptized? Yet God in his infinite wisdom knows human nature and precluded this from being expressed. What is more, as the Passover prefigures the sacrament of Holy Communion, Christ's actions here may present more than we see or possibly can understand. We see Christ baptized, but was it taking place in the spiritual realm and the heavenly realms in such a manner that Christ's action of obedience stirs the heavenlies? Well, something took place there because the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended and the Father spoke. Something more was taking place than simply the water baptizing Christ. More from the Large Catechism. Everything depends upon the word and the commandment of God. This is a rather subtle point, perhaps, but it is based upon what I have said, that baptism is simply water and God's word in and with each other. That is, when the word accompanies the water, baptism is valid, even though faith is lacking. For my faith does not make baptism, rather, it receives baptism. Baptism does not become valid if it is not properly received or used, as I've said. For it is not bound to our faith. It is bound to the Word. Now, this is subtle. It's philosophically speaking a little bit. It's theologizing a little bit. But really grab onto this because you'll find peace and comfort from it. Baptism is not bound to our faith. It's bound to the Word of God. And this is the reason we do not rebaptize. The efficacy of baptism is based solely on God's Word. Not my faith or your faith or anyone's faith. Baptism is based solely on God's Word. Baptism confers all the blessings and benefits based solely on God's Word. What this means is that one's behavior, one's backsliding, one's temperament, one's feelings, whatever they may be, do not and cannot negate the Word of God with the water. One has been baptized. And if you backslide and if you have a bad feeling, you don't rebaptize. Instead, you return to the mercy of Christ, as we regularly hear in the brief order confession in the traditional style worship from 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't say, go get baptized again. It says, return to the mercy of Christ, the mercy received in baptism. It is a matter of confessing our sins and receiving the forgiveness of sin in Christ. It is not a matter of being rebaptized. And boy, did spell check do an unusual thing there. It called it robotized. It's rebaptized. I mean, it's not about being rebaptized. It's not being about robotized either, being a robot. No, it's about receiving the forgiveness of sin. You have it in the waters of baptism. Now, if you've sinned, you do as 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. For it is this was a matter that after we sin, we ought to be baptized again. Each and every one of us here, every time we gather to worship, we would need to be baptized again, beginning with me. Every time we gather to worship, we'd have to baptize before we could worship. If it was a matter of being rebaptized, we are sinners. Yet, through the water with God's word, we have been born again. We have been redeemed. We are the children of God with forgiveness of sin, rescued from death and the devil, and given eternal life, that salvation to all believe. Those who focus on rebaptizing, they place the focus and emphasis on the person, the person's character, and their life, which ebbs and flows with faithfulness and sinfulness, along with the feelings. Whereas the emphasis must and always be on the Word of God, which never fails, which never changes, which stands forever. Likewise, those who are adamant about the method and amount of water, they're taking their eyes off of what makes baptism, It's not the method nor the amount of water. What makes baptism is God's word in and with the water. Trusting the word of God with the water. If you want to be immersed, be immersed. Get a good soaking. If you want sprinkling, be sprinkled. If you're an adult, great. If you're an infant, great. It's about God's word. God's word. And it's the word of God written through Paul in Romans chapter 6 that brings forth the spiritual reality that takes place when a person receives the water with God's word. For example, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. This word of God from Romans expresses that new reality in the baptized believer. You have been united with him in a death like his. You've been united with his death. And with his death, as Christ has been crucified, your old self has been crucified with Christ. Died to sin. And as Christ was raised from the dead, you have new life. You have been forever transformed. For some, this appears immediately. There are people that experience incredible deliverances after their baptism. For others, they may have a lifelong struggle living out this new life. It doesn't invalidate the baptism. They are still dead to sin and raised with Christ with the new life. Different people's lives take different journeys. Still, the old self was crucified. It's more than what you see with the water and the word. It's more than just getting wet and drying off. In the heavenlies, a new reality has taken place. And God says, baptized, you are baptized into the death of my Son. Your old self is crucified with my Son being crucified. And as my Son rose, you rise and have new life. That's what's taking place in the heavenlies, in the spirituals, as a person's baptized. As Romans chapter 6 expresses it. Just because the outward behavior hasn't changed dramatically doesn't mean that baptism was not effective. It doesn't mean that the grace of God isn't at work in that person's soul. Don't judge by the outward appearance of good behavior. Rather, encourage and point to the new life that is theirs in Christ through the waters of baptism with the word of God. The forgiveness there is theirs, even if it's the 10 millionth, gazillionth time they ask for mercy. Just like that tax collector and the Pharisee in the temple. Pharisee says, look how good I am. Tax collector says, Lord, have mercy. And the one who cried for mercy received mercy. It's not about outward appearances. It's about what the Word of God proclaims. Baptism brings great comfort to souls, for eternal life is based on God's Word. In Christ's redeeming work on the cross, it's not based on the strength or degree of passion a person lives out the Christian faith. That's hard to understand. It's based on God's word. Some people have more difficult journeys living out the Christian faith. Others do it with great exuberance. They're both redeemed by the word of God through the waters of baptism. I continue from the Large Catechism. Therefore, let all Christians regard their baptism as the daily garment that they are to wear all the time. Every day they should be found in faith and with its fruits, suppressing the old creature and growing up in the new. If we want to be Christians, we must practice the work that makes us Christians. And let those who fall away return to it. As Christ, the mercy seat, does not withdraw from us or forbid us to return to Him, even though we sin, so all His treasures and gifts remain. As we have once obtained forgiveness of sins in baptism, so forgiveness remains day by day as long as we live. That is, as long as we carry this old creature around our necks. Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 8. Now, if we had died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Being baptized into that new life. It looks different for different people. Some have that extraordinary night and day difference. Others have that daily struggle with that old creature still around the neck, as Luther put the term. And you, what are you going to take from this moment? It's God's grace. The Word of God. You are baptized in His name. His name! You are baptized the water with God's Word. So it's not based on you. It's based on His Word. And as expressed in Romans 6, His Word says, you have died to sin, and as Christ has been raised, you have been raised to new life. Now it's a matter of living that new life. Some days you do it better than others. Some days I do it better than others. But still, it's the new life. And it's all by grace. It's all by grace. So if you come upon this and fall into Christ, and you may see the mercy of Christ again. Do that. Compassion. Remind them it's not them. It's not about their behavior. It's to find peace because back with God, that name of God, it was you. It is Christ.